Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to another Hot Topics from the Soul. I'm your host, Valerie Parker. I'm a businesswoman, author, and speaker. I am the author of three books. The first book, From the Soul of a Woman, Love Shouldn't Hurt. The second, Unveiling Secrets from the Heart. And then the last, Restored Vessels, Young Adults Overcoming Adversities. Hot Topics from the Soul was created to be a lifeline to the community where we talk about social issues, relationships, families, finances, and so much more. So any topic that you wish discussed on Hot Topics from the Soul, email me at soultopics@gmail.com. That's soultopics@gmail.com. I have my co-host with me, Shirley Carter. Shirley, are you there?
Good evening, Val. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. I'm Shirley Carter. I'm an entrepreneur and a speaker as well.
Well, tonight we're going to jump right into it, Shirley. We've had some hot weeks coming in the past. We've talked last week was about companionship versus relationships. And so many people we found out are basically just dating for companionship. They don't want that relationship aspect of it where they feel that they're bound emotionally to one individual. And so this week, we're going to talk about love on the rebound. And why we're talking about love on the rebound is because there's so many individuals that bounce from one relationship to another. And rebound means that what they do is they jump into another relationship quickly because they don't want to deal with the pain of the rejection and the hurt from that previous breakup. And then, you know, when someone's in love, as we discussed last week and the week before, that it's like an emotional contract between two individuals where they're sharing and transferring of hearts and emotions and wills and sacrifices of who they are. And we discovered that so many people are willing to sacrifice who they are emotionally, their entire being, all for this thing we call love. One of my quotes I wrote was, "Love affects our past, our present, our future. It's an emotion, a gift, a gift, a gift, a gift given to us from God, and it should never hurt." But we do know that love hurts. We know that love takes us through different turmoils and circumstances, and, you know, some people will give up their only child for this thing we call love. They will sacrifice all they have for this thing they call love. They'll give their last dollar, their last 1 cent for this thing we call love. Is that right, Shirley?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. You know, and we talked about how love and lust as well, and, you know, that feel-good feeling. And, you know, love is, it's a small word, four letters, but it packs a lot of power. It has so much power in it. And that you got all types of definitions for love, agape love, the love that's unconditional. Even the movie came out, Love Jones. You know, you're fiending for love. Lust and love, confusing the two. And, you know, getting into that whole cycle of love, looking for love in all the wrong places, wanting that feeling, misunderstanding what love really is, identifying love as a physical thing, or identifying love as an emotional thing, which it is emotionally. Emotionally reacts to a physical need. Dealing with love on all sorts of levels. And like you said, we give up that only child for love, you know. Or some people take a life for love. It's so much into that powerful four-letter word, love. That word carries, like I said, such a strong punch. And tonight, Val, we're dealing with this here, love on the rebound. You know, a lot of people, I feel that we get caught up in wanting that feeling of being loved and feeling needed. And when we break up in these relationships and everything, that we need to feel that we're okay, that we go into these rebound relationships immediately after a breakup or a divorce or something. And it's mostly because of that feeling of we need to feel that self-esteem is back, satisfied feeling. Or and sometimes it's such a personal growth that we need to feel love, that someone loves them, needs them. It's almost like we have to be affirmed that the breakup wasn't your fault or that the relationship proved that because you're in another relationship now and I must be okay, that this is not going to be a rebound relationship. I really do love this person. I didn't love the person I just broke up with. Now I know what love is, the pain of it. And then you feel that comfort in that relationship, the rebound relationship. But the thing about it is that 9 out of 10 times that rebound relationship don't last because you're in it for all those instant gratification, that need to feel whole, that need to prove to yourself that you are worthy of love and the affection, and that, you know, you need someone to love you. And that person that you're going into a rebound relationship with, oh, they need me, so it wasn't my fault. So all of those things, you're painting these all these false pictures in your head, and you're acting them out in reality, and that you ended up in a rebound relationship. And is your heart really in it?
Right.
You
and that's
finding yourself
the...
again. Yeah. Is your heart in it, really?
Yeah,
it's
a lot of people
instant gratification again.
Constantly just bouncing back and forth and going, what we're going to do tonight is open up the lines early because we keep running out of time on these shows when we deal with relationships. And as I said, those of you that have questions that you want us to ask, you can email me at soultopics@gmail.com, or you can actually text me on Facebook, send me a message on Facebook on the Valerie Parker at Facebook, or from the Soul of a Woman at Facebook. Those that are in the audience, we're talking about love on the rebound. If you have any questions or comments regarding this topic, you can speak at this time. I have a hand up on the last digit, 3145. Are you on here? Okay.
Well, thank you so very much for having me tonight. What a very powerful topic in which you're discussing. And then I was listening to it, and I began to think, you know, you said love on the rebound. Well, I'm not sure if the rebound is a problem, because the only way that we get back into anything is that we have to rebound. We rebound from sickness. We rebound from bankruptcy. We rebound from homelessness. We rebound. So the word rebound is not the evil terror here, but I think it's the mental capacity in which we find ourselves into the relationship. There's another term I choose to use that you know, because oftentimes when we think about rebound and love relationship, we're saying that it's something that a person goes into right after they got another, you know, a previous relationship. Well, that's a matter of timing. Because whether it's 3 weeks after, 6 months after, or 18 months after, 2 years after, either way it goes, you're rebounding. You're rebounding from past hurt. You're rebounding from something that was dissolved, and you're getting back into it. I think the greater danger is to transition in being able to settle those emotions and settle those feelings that you had from the previous one, being able to settle it, come to grips with it, being able to, if you would, find a peace within your own heart, where I am, and understand that it's all right. It's all right to have ended a relationship. It's all right that it did not turn out the way that you thought it was. But be very careful that you don't take into the next relationship the raw emotions, the raw feelings, or the expectations that were in the previous relationship. That is what makes rebound not only hard for the individual who's going into it, but also very difficult for the person who they enter into the next relationship with.
Well, one of the things you said was very interesting is you gave a category where that you spoke about 1 week, 1 month. And, you know, sometimes it's years a person leaves a relationship or is abandoned from a relationship. And most of the times when an individual I find has been abandoned from a relationship, it could be years 5, 10, 15 years, and it could still be a relationship on the rebound because they have not healed, they have not gotten their closure. The individual has closed and moved on because that person that was left hurting did not get closure. It still remains a rebound relationship, and that's why individuals take what went from one relationship into the next.
I like to, you know, comment on that, Val. You said one key thing that I pick up on what you said about the years that it can take. And that's something that person can have so much pain that for years it's hard for them to let go and move on. So I feel that in that, and then when Jay spoke about instead of rebound, the transition. So the transition is a key thing here in transitioning from one relationship to the other. And Jay also spoke about be careful not to take from that last relationship into the next one. It's all in the transition. And in that transition, taking years to do it, that's a lot of healing that a person has to go through. And sometimes some people are never able to let go. That is wisdom beyond that.
You know, you said something, you hit on something that was very powerful right then when you said sometimes people aren't able to let go. You know, I heard you all speak of, I guess, previous topics that you had in the week before, and one of the things that you talk about was people looking for companionship and not ready for the commitment relationship. I think when we put all that in perspective, what we have to understand is this, is that sometimes you could have gone to a certain degree in a previous relationship where you gave everything that you knew to give and you had certain expectations, and when it did not happen, you were hurt, you were crushed. You were, you know, you even felt a sense of betrayal. You feel confused and all of those things. Well, it doesn't mean that you don't want to ever enter, you know, get back on the horse again, but it might mean for a long time I'm not ready to assume the same position. So that's what happens with some people who now they're not looking for a committed relationship because they understand what that requires, and that takes a lot out of them. So they'll settle for just the companionship. They will settle for let's hook it up every now and then because they are, if you would, are protecting that sense of vulnerability of where they were. And I think that what has to happen is that, guess what, that's fine as long as both parties know that's what's been expected. That is fine as long as the person that you're now entering into this newfound acquaintance with understand that you're not really looking for the relationship as we know it to be, but rather companionship. Where it becomes very cloudy and murky and often painful is when the new person actually thinks that, hey, you're in this thing for a relationship, but you're not. You just really want the companionship of it. And some people, they're not able to articulate that right then because, once again, even to articulate it is showing a certain degree of vulnerability. And so, once again, when we talk about rebounding takes on so many different forms. It does. And there's some painful lessons. There's some painful lessons that are learned on both ends from rebounding. And I mean, and I have to say that, you know, I've learned a lot, oh my God, over the last year or so, is that you have to be very careful. That's why questions are so important. You know, do we know the last relationship that person came out of? Did we really honestly share with them about the relationship we came out of? I mean, not that you got to share every deep crevice and secret, but I think that it's important to understand the depthness or the in-depthness of that relationship because people can be in transition / rebound. And if you're not careful and the cards are not on the table, you get a relationship with them, and the only thing your relationship is a continuation in their mind of what they were in. They're still trying to fulfill those broken promises, fulfill those things that was promised to them. And you end up being almost a prisoner or a hostage to those things or those expectations from a relationship that you were not even in.
Okay, I'm going to ask a question to our listening audience as well as to you. Is when you're entering, when you've entered into a relationship, how soon is too soon to divulge to that individual that you are dating or just dating out of companionship, not a relationship? Do you feel, in listening audience, you can put your hand up by pressing 1, do you feel that there's a set time that you can share with that individual who you are? And when does it transition from companionship to relationship, which is one of the things we talked about last week? We had some callers that gave some information with that, but I'd like to have some new voices on that. So the question again is, should you be able to be transparent with someone that you're going out with?
Well, I'll take a stab at it since I think we kind of raised that question. I think number one is this. Is there a set rule book time table, a time factor? No. But
no.
I think that one must understand this. You don't meet someone on the first night and say, well, let me tell you about all the relationships I was in. First of all, that's scared them half to death. Number two, why would you want to divulge that to a stranger, number, you know, to begin with? However, you have to be sure which direction you're going here. If you know you're not ready to be transparent and vulnerable with this individual, and you've got to kind of communicate that you're not looking for a relationship, that it is about companionship. However, if you find that it is feelings there that are signifying and leading to a relationship, I would say this. I think it's time to have that conversation with that individual to become a little bit more transparent and vulnerable. You definitely want to do that before you cross the line of physical intimacy. Because I think when you start crossing lines of physical intimacy, and understand even with that with caution, because what does physical intimacy mean to one person versus another? What does physical intimacy mean? I can tell you this. In most cases where there are things like abuse or domestic violence, it never occurred before there was physical intimacy. It always occurred after physical intimacy, because there's something about that coming together, that consummation, that almost tells the other person that you belong to me and I belong to you. And now that's where the gray area becomes real cloudy now, because now you said, hold up, I didn't want this relationship. All I really wanted was companionship.
Well,
so
the
I didn't
reason
really
why
you.
The reason why I raised that issue and that question is simply because there are a lot of individuals that are listening in right now who went on the dating websites.
Mm-hmm.
And on the dating websites, you know, they have these questionnaires, and then you go back and forth in communication with individuals, and you feel, okay, I haven't met them yet, so I'm going to tell them a little bit about myself. But in doing so, what they do is actually give that person, show that person who they are, so that person is able to become a chameleon and be just who they want them to be, just so they could get in a little closer. And that's why a lot of individuals wind up being hurt on these dating sites. I was talking to my son yesterday, and I use my sons and for example, because I talk to them. They're young men, and they're growing up. And my son said, Mom, do you think you can really meet somebody and really form a relationship from somebody that you meet online? And I said, well, yeah, you can. And then I shared with him that I know an individual that was dating someone online, but they had become so emotionally engulfed with an individual and it actually frightened me, the attachment that this individual had formulated with this individual that they met online, because of the fact that they were so caught up and hadn't actually met the individual. And they were like having a nervous breakdown because the person broke up with them and they had never physically met. And I thought that was just kind of off the deep end. Is it? Well, since you're the only man that's raised your hand, would you like to comment on that?
Are you speaking to me, the only man raised my hand?
Well, let's
take the seriousness of it. I mean, you know, one thing I could say is this. I'm at the place where I'm very ready to be transparent about the experiences I've had and the experiences that I've have been in counsel with others about. And one thing that is very evident is this. I'm not surprised by that because of the fact one of the things with social networking and social dating and all those things is the acceleration of the imagination. See, you said it earlier. Online, you're able to be whatever you want to be. You're able to make it sound just right. You're able to make it sound exciting. You're able to convey compassion, and I'm thoughtful of you. And think about how intimate that is because you have one-on-one time with that individual, and as far as you know, you have uninterrupted time. You tell me what number one thing that people want from each other, quality time. So all those things are happening right there. You're exchanging pleasantries. You're saying the right thing. Your compliments are right on it. And all the time, the imagination is an amazing thing. You remember one of my favorite sayings is saying that often people live out of their imagination. So when we live out our imagination will create the reality that we have given it permission to. So when that individual has fallen all apart, it's because their imagination have gone there. From what they had communicated, they felt that this person really felt a certain way about them. That person conveyed that to them. They then magnified that. And so all of those things are happening. And then it takes but one thing, and that's called reality. Wake up, recognize that this is reality. Most of those relationships, they're long distance, they're far away, so there's an element of mystery that's involved. Who doesn't like a little mystery in their relationship? So it has all those elements that forms those type of ties. I'm very afraid. Today I would caution anybody on online dating, especially women, who get in their car, get on a plane, get on a train, and travel to meet a man that they've never met before. How dangerous that is. Based upon what?
Wow.
A picture that's on a profile? Based upon a conversation on a phone? Based upon what? You know nothing about that individual. I promise you, you know absolutely nothing. You know what they have chosen to tell you. And before you can invest that type of emotional commitment there and that type of vulnerability, you better step back a little bit. Give that person some real life quizzes, some real life quizzes, some things that requires thought, situation. How do they react inside of situation? Are they sharing as much with you as you're sharing with them? All those things are important because other than that, we build a whole home inside of our imagination.
Imagination.
And that's right. It's called the house that imagination built.
Wow, well, you seem to be someone speaking out of authority. You want to share with us who you are.
Oh, I thought I've already made that. No, at least I thought Shirley made it. This is Jay, J.R. Thicklin, back on the saddle.
J.R. Thicklin, thank you so much for joining Hot Topics from the Soul. Those of you that are listening, and this young man, he has followed Soul Topics for the past 3 years, and every now and then he drops in and says hello. And when we talk about relationships, J.R. Thicklin is almost an authority on it. You want to give a little more background on things you do, Jay, and things you got coming up?
Well, you know, I'm at a very, if you would, sober time in my life, and not that I've been drunk, but very sober in the sense of the fact that the whole thing of looking at relationships, you know, I'm known primarily for dealing with things like abusive relationship and authority on domestic violence and those type of relationship and intimate partner violence. And my heart goes out for fatherlessness and calling men back into that place of being fathers. But even more so, where my heart bleeds today, Val, is recognizing things about our own life when we don't take that time, as you're saying, to be sure within ourselves. How we can make a mockery out of not only our life, but the lives of people that we get involved with. So it takes a great deal of element of telling yourself the truth about where you are, really becoming comfortable and accepting where you are. And you've got to accept, this is where I am. I'm a mess. and hopefully have the strength to say, look, I don't need to become involved with anyone right now because I'm emotionally, I'm a train wreck. I'm an accident waiting to happen. So I need to take myself out of the game, or I need to warn very heavily to those who may be interested in me that I'm just not ready yet. But on the other hand, speaking as a man, women, you got to listen. You got to listen. If he tells you he's not ready, he's a mess, believe him. Believe him. It has nothing to do with you, your ability or your inability to woo him, your inability to capture his attention. For once, he just may be telling you the truth, that he's a wreck, that his emotions are all over the place, that he's not closed chapters before he's ready to open new ones, that he still has a trail of things going on emotionally. Understand something. Men and women are built quite differently inside of things. You as women generally will handle a relationship one at a time. Emotionally, you're not built to carry all that stuff. Men can compartmentalize things in such a way because generally our emotions are not as invested as yours are. So, yes, your conversations sound better than hers, or you don't seem to put a little, you don't seem to be putting pressure on me like she did. Oh, wow, you really allow me to be myself. And yet it's still I'm carrying baggage from the previous relationship. Yet it's still I'm carrying these things. And if you override the fact of me telling you that I'm a wreck, that I'm emotionally not there, because you got to understand it, you guys got a way of getting to us. And if you're, and if we're not very strong, we will surrender. But what you will get may cost you time, tears, emotional well-being, because you took it as a challenge rather than believe the fact that he simply said he wasn't ready. Don't go trying to fix him. Don't go trying to fix him. Allow him to take the opportunity to fix himself. Help him out. If he's online, tell him you need to take yourself off the menu. You're not ready. You're going to hurt other people.
Wow.
He needs your tough love. He doesn't need you trying to fix him.
And that is so transparent of you to give out that information because of the fact that, you know, there are guys that are honest and say, you know, I'm just not ready. I can't be in a relationship with you right now. And they say it has nothing to do with you, but it has everything to do with me. And when women hear that, you're absolutely right. They're like, if they take it as a challenge, oh well, I'm gonna fix this. Oh, he gonna see things my way, and they were being honest to begin with.
They were being honest. And, you know, unfortunately, sometimes society paints such a picture that all men are liars. You know what? When you can find a man that is willing to be transparent enough and say, I'm not ready, this is messed up. Now, understand, if he's telling you he's not ready from the beginning, definitely believe him. I can understand you becoming upset. You know, you're 6 months into the relationship. You shared everything with him, including all your cookies and everything. And now, all of a sudden, he's saying, I'm not ready. Now, see, I got a problem with you then. You have every right to have a problem with him then, because why couldn't he have told you that up front?
Mm-hmm.
But if he's telling you that up front and you then take it as a challenge, or you then take it as a fact, you may even have a whim that he was dating someone else. So now you have this whole thing, I'm going to show him that I'm going to show her that I can get him. You have just put yourself in a very bad place, because there's nothing more hurting women, and you ought to know this better than me, but I'm saying here's the redemption part of this, then dealing with a man who's unstable in his emotions. He's unstable
right.
in where he wants to go. And that's the worst part about it, because sometimes he treats you like a queen. Other times he makes you feel like you're $1 million. But you know what? There are times where he is stoic. There's times that he can't even decipher one thing from the other, and oftentimes those are the times that you most need the validation and you most need that support, and he's unable to give it. And then before long, he's all over the place, and then now you say he's a liar. Well, he wasn't a liar up front. He told you up front, but you start working your magic trying to change him. No, believe him. Allow him that time to heal. Stop being a fixer-upper. You don't go to a car lot and say, give me a car that I can fix up. You go for a car that is running and operating properly. And listen, if you can get a warranty, you'll get a warranty with it. Why would you go into a relationship trying to find someone that you need to fix up?
Wow. That
well,
is awesome.
This information that you're sharing with us, Jay, is you know, and these are things that guys don't want to talk about, you know, and don't want to share. And I appreciate you for being so honest and sharing, you know, out of experience and you know, saying sometimes we're just not ready. We're not, and it's not that we're not that into you. It's that I can't deal with who you are because I'm not sure who I am right now.
You hit it on the head, Val. You hit it on the head, and that's hard for most men, anyone, to admit that I'm not sure who I am right now, because part of us as men, our whole strength is based upon our identity, and mostly
exactly.
The way we identify ourselves, and that's the sad part about it. But as I said earlier, a lot of this have come from me, out of not only personal experience but also on the other side of listening to people. But I can tell you something, I have to carry a scar with me now. Of hurting someone that was my very, very best friend. Very, very best friend. Known each other over childhood and all these years. I mean, we was disconnected for over 20-something years, and so happened God allowed us to be reconnected again. But here's the thing I knew, and I counseled this person against this and still got sucked into it myself. I said to this individual, listen, it wouldn't be a good idea to try to translate what we had as a childhood friendship into a love relationship. I said this. I knew this intellectually, but could not stand the test to make it work. I knew this. I was concerned about two things, either her becoming a transition woman or me becoming a transition man. Why? Transition relationship normally happens when a person has come out of a long-term relationship.
Mm-hmm.
They were married a number of years, or they've been in a relationship with someone a number of years. They come out of that relationship, they feel like, wow, I'm out of a prison. And so when they encounter someone who is listening, someone who is patient, someone who is oftentimes just the opposite of that person they was with, they have a tendency to be very relaxed, comfortable, and vulnerable. And they think now that I'm ready, this sounds good, this looks good. And in many ways, that person becomes that crutch. The transition person is that crutch, is that comfort that helps them get to a certain place emotionally. There's no timetable on it. But once they get there, that individual is ready to step, walk, and they're ready to test out their new found wings. And oftentimes those wings are being tested, but you're no longer part of that test. And the,
well,
and the resistance, yeah, yeah, the resistance.
Well, you know, we talked about love and lust a couple of weeks ago, and that falls under that category that, you know, you get so caught up emotionally wanting someone till you mistake that love, and it's actually lust because it's something you're longing for.
Sure it is. I mean, and the sad part about that is this as well. You know, you said something earlier, I believe, that when you're afraid of being alone, when you're afraid of your singleness, when you're afraid to exist by yourself, when to you, your singleness, for whatever reason, in your own mind, maybe life experience, when you're single or your singleness says to you that you're not good enough, or your singleness says to you that you failed, or your singleness says to you that you're not competitive, or your singleness says to you that you no longer have it. If that is the message that your singleness is saying to you, then you really have to take some time to redefine who you are. Because being single and your singleness should not say those things to you at all. Being single or by yourself is not an indication of failure, inadequacy, or, you know, or not being worthy. Being singleness ought to be a time of reflection, a time of really exploring options, a time of reevaluating what I really want. That's what it ought to be. It shouldn't be a conclusive matter. It ought to be an objective matter inside of my singleness. And we've got to be able to do that. Other than that, we will find ourselves in and in and in and out of relationship. And I didn't make a mistake when I say in and out of relationship, meaning that you will find yourself, even in cases, in multiple relationships. And the only reason that you have a reason to be in multiple relationships, because you don't feel fulfilled by one.
And that struggle of your identity, that struggle of being alone, it is a beast. It is a beast because of the fact that what it, I've often said in my book From the Soul of a Woman, that first experience that we've had as love, we look for it and hunt for it our entire lives, trying to recapture that feeling, that emotion that we had, and that's what we base love on. Rather, you in that relationship and it's bad. I was in a bad relationship, toxic, abusive, but because I felt that that was the lot that I was drawn, I remained in it because I felt I had no other option. But the deal breaker is when you imprison yourself, when you have the key to unlock the door at any time.
You hit it right on the head. I mean, we create most of the prisons that we're in.
We have the key to unlock the door at any time.
Yeah, and we create these prisons and everything because we get so used to it and we become comfortable and complacent in them. And it's like we smother or don't want to deal with the reality of it all. And that's how we get in these rebound relationships, too, is not dealing with the reality of it all. And we're feeling like we have this feeling of staying in that one zone because the pain of the relationship that you went through and the distraction and everything that you've gone through and you've lost that closeness or that wholeness you think you needed with that other person. So we rebound or transition into another relationship, which you use, Jay, the word transition. But when you say transition, I think about transition is it is moving from one place in life to the next place in life. But are you really transitioning if you are bouncing from person
bouncing
to person?
Is still
and as you say, it's a movement. Yes, it is a movement, but it's not. I look at transition as a smooth movement or a vertical or, you know, movement, a horizontal rabbit, as opposed to bouncing, you're jumping and you're skipping around, that you're not really connecting with anyone. You're like, skip. I'll bounce over here, I'll bounce over there. I'm feeling good with this person for now and then. When that feeling is gone, then I'll bounce over here. But I feel like if I transition into another one, I'm going to take the time to get to know that person before I make it a relationship. It may be companionship first, and then I'll go into the relationship. I find that as my transition into another relationship as opposed to bouncing in one in a rebound.
Well, I think that I think what you did is that you kind of answered your own question. You kind of, but here's the thing about it. I guess what I'm saying is this. We can't indict the word rebound. We can't use that word rebound as if it's a no-no word, because as I said earlier, we all rebound from things. We rebound, hopefully the country will do what? Rebound from this recession, that we rebound from death. We rebound from bankruptcy. We rebound from anything. Rebound is simply meaning that what? That we have an opportunity to do it again. When we play ball in a few minutes, when the Miami Heat beats the Dallas Mavericks, there will be some rebounds there.
I like the way you slip that in.
You know, the rebound will happen.
Yeah, he slipped that one in on
it. see, the word rebound itself means to spring back as
right.
upon impact. You know, to get possession of it. So when you spring back, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, another part of rebound is after being jilted, bouncing back from something. And sometimes that's what happens in a relationship. When we feel like we've been jilted, there's some of us have this intestinal makeup that we feel like we got to get back in the game. We got to show them. I'm not going to let this kill me.
You don't want to deal with the failure of it.
Exactly, because that's part of our, think about it, that's part of some of our motivational tools. We've been taught that. You know, hey, life knocks us down, we're going to get back up. But what we don't read is the fine print. Do I get back up better or do I get back up bitter? Time will determine whether I get back up bitter or I get back up better. See, I can get back up. The problem is not getting back up, but in what condition I get back up. I can rebound, but I can be more destructive in my rebound if I have not learned the very valuable lessons I need to learn why I was being jilted or when I'm coming off that rim. What did I learn in that time? It's like me taking 20 bad shots. I got the rebound for every last one of them, but I keep taking a bad shot. I'm never going to make the basket until I stop, and I need to consider my form. I need to consider the strength in which I'm shooting. I need to consider the velocity of the ball. There are so many things I need to consider inside of that so that rebound will be successful. That's where that transition word comes in. And like you so well said, Shirley, was this. Maybe we ought to take that companionship route before we actually get involved in a, you know, in a deep relationship that is going to require and call upon all of those raw emotion and those things. Because the reality is, when do we know we really heal? How do you know you really are recovered from injury? Until you test it.
Right.
Until you test it. You think about it. You know, I'm looking at number 40, Udonis Haslem, for the Heat, was hurt this whole season, played 13 out of 82 games, was out all that time, had surgery, and guess what? Went through rehab. Now, at one point, he was practicing with the team, but he didn't get in the game yet. He was still rehabbing. They said, did the surgery go well? Yes, it was a success, far as we know. So he gets out, he starts practicing, and folks say, well, you're practicing with the team. When will we see you in the game? He says, I don't know until the coaches and the trainer makes that determination. And guess what? The playoffs started in one game. They put him in just to see how it was. He tested it for a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't play the next game. But then they put him in at a very crucial game, and he went off. And everyone said, he's back. Why? Because he demonstrated some of the same ability and agility that he had before he was ever injured. And so what I'm saying is that, listen, we are going to hurt. We're going to rebound. But how we come back from that rebound determines our altitude, determines the success of it. And we'll never know whether we're really healed until we eventually get to a place where it's tested again. I can
and
be
how
angry,
we come
I'll never
back.
Trust again. And that's very important to just keep in mind.
How we come back is very important. We must come back strong, not on this pity party, woe is me, he left me, I'll never find nobody else, I'm not beautiful, because that's what we do a lot of times, male and female, is when someone rejects us, then we start rejecting ourselves and devaluing our self-worth. And God does not want us to do that.
No. You know, Shirley said something earlier. We was talking about it was transitioning, and let me make sure I don't make you guys think I'm a genius or nothing. I'm actually going to read this one from the Webster's New World Dictionary. Transition is a passing from one condition place to another. The period of this one condition place, And that's the thing we have to talk about when you say transition. It is a passing from one condition to another. So when we talk about transition, you know, that transition ought to be a movement from one place to another. In other words, I shouldn't be going into another relationship or acquaintance with that same garbage, with that same condition, that same mindset. You know, why should I make every woman pay for the pain of the previous woman?
Absolutely.
Because if I do that, guess who haven't transitioned? I haven't. Whether I felt like I was a victim or not, it's very important to understand that transition, first of all, if we properly transition within ourselves, then the likelihood of someone else being a transition man, a transition woman, is slim to none. but we have to transition first. Can't make someone marry us just because we was in a relationship with Fred for 7 years, and it broke off and didn't make it. Now I'm mad with Fred because I waste 7 years of my life, but now I get involved with Henry, and I want Henry to propose marriage within the first 6 months. That's not fair to Henry.
Well, why not?
It's not fair to him.
Why
not? It's not fair to Henry because the fact Henry wasn't part of your life with Fred. You can't make Henry be ready for something that Fred did. It took Fred 7 years, and he still didn't do it. Now I want Henry to be instant grits. No, not at all. Chances are you're going to run Henry away because Henry is saying, hold, excuse me. I mean, girlfriend, I don't even know your tag number. I don't even know your dress size. Do you want to get married? This guy here knew your blood type and everything else. 7 years. It didn't happen there. Don't try to make me make up for what he didn't do. Don't guilt trip to make me feel like, you know, that I'm less than a man because I didn't step up to the plate. Allow me to grow within my own self.
Well, I am so glad that you called in and joined us tonight, Jay. But one of the questions I want to ask before time gets away from us, and Shirley can chime in on this too because I was watching the same show, and this young lady was in a relationship with this man for 5 years, and they were engaged. And her friends thought that she was married, thought that they were married because they were together all the time. And this individual thought the girl was married. And she said, well, your wife. And then she said, oh, that's not my husband. And said, but I see y'all everywhere. And she had the engagement ring, but they never set a date because he always kept putting it off. So when the issue came up, well, why aren't we getting married? Why haven't we set a date? Then the man backs up and he feels cornered. He feels like he's trapped. And he says, well, let's just forget everything then. And he walked away from a five-year relationship. They meet like 3 months later, and all of a sudden he's got another person on his arm and he's engaged to be married and they've set a date. And then when she questioned him later, they connected again after the fact, and she said, why? How could you do that? And he said, I loved you, but I was not in love with you, and I didn't realize it until you pushed the issue of marriage. You didn't give me an opportunity to fall in love with you. And they had been dating 5 years, engaged 5 years.
So your question, is that possible?
I'm saying,
is that your question? Is that possible? Or what is the question?
Yeah. Because I've heard a lot of women say they've been in long-term relationships with individuals, and then they broke up, and they turned around and married somebody right away. And I've heard it happen to men, too, where the woman didn't want to get married. They kept saying, let's get married. And the woman's like, well, I'm not ready yet. And then they met someone and got married.
Well, in most cases, I guarantee you're going to find that being on the end of men that did exactly what this man did. One key thing I will say to any woman is this. As much as you might want to get married, you know what? Let him lead that relationship. Let him show his hand. Because there are some men, we will give in to you. We'll give in to all your excitement, all your desires, because innately we do want to make you happy. But, you know, when you keep driving the steering wheel and then all of a sudden, you know, we finally say, well, will you marry me? Well, that's kind of like you going out, picking out the engagement ring and picking out all the stuff, and then, okay, excuse me, there's a big pink elephant in the room. You basically have done the proposal. He's just carrying out the orders. Don't let it be that way. Allow him to be that person to do so. Now, you can set your own time limit, how long you're going to wait, whether you're going to be patient enough for this. But what I am saying to you is what happened in that case there sounds like a classic case where the woman actually drove the relationship. She drove it. She was the person who initiated marriage. She the person who initiated the whole thing about engagement. And he began to live in that thing. The longer that he kept putting it off, what was happening was himself really situationally trying to really validate or confirm within himself, is this really what I want to do? Is this really what I want to do? And see, you can be in it for so long, this is what will happen. It's like this. It becomes part. It just becomes something that naturally fit on you, but you're not moving toward anything else. The greater commitment scares you to death. So guess what? When she brings it up again, she brings it at a point where he's already frustrated. He said, forget it. Just forget it. Because he's finally got enough strength to say that. But what happens to him? The same thing we've been talking about the whole night. He ends up meeting someone else. And all he's doing is right on rebound. He's transitioning. Watch this. But now he sees something that is attracted to him. And he starts out, and he's leading the way for a moment. He feels excited about that. He's in control. So it's nothing like feeling like you're making a difference in somebody's life. You feel good. You feel special. You feel like you offer some. You know, we get in a relationship sometime, and we get used to each other, and we no longer feel that way. We no longer feel that we make a difference, that we're special, and you don't even laugh at our jokes like you used to laugh at them. You don't even say things you used to say. And so those things plays a part inside of that. I'm not saying to the extreme that everyone's going to end up with someone else after 3 months, when they've been in a 5-year relationship, but I promise you the elements are the same. The elements are the same. So one of the things with women that I think is so important is that you're going to have to watch him. Allow him to lead that way. You know, let him show his hand. Don't you set the menu. Don't you set the menu in the table, because there's some of us are going to go along with it to a certain point. You can take him to the water, but you can't make him drink. And that's what happened. He says, you brought me to the water, but, oh, baby, you're not going to make me drink. I'm not going to that altar. No, I'm not going there. So we keep changing it, and we keep changing it. Not saying that it's not legitimate sometimes, but we keep changing it. Now, listen, if you know that the real reason is not because of finances, the real reason is not because of this, that, and other, and you keep changing and keep changing, that's got to be a sign to you. There's something that he's unsettled about.
So does that mean that that individual, that mentality of the person that's doing the stringing along is actually have that individual for a companionship, that he doesn't consider it a relationship because he's driving, that other person was driving?
No. It was a relationship at one time. But the more the pressure's on to marry, and that tempo is being set by you, the woman, the real him will come out. And if the real him is really being felt like he's being pressured, he's not ready, he's going to stand around the water, but he's not going to drink. And when you try to really put it on, just like that person said, oh, I thought you all was married. You do everything together. Wow, y'all do everything. I thought you were married. And guess what? She started thinking just like that person. And then she goes, baby, you know what? We've been together 5 years and stuff. I mean, we act like a couple. We do everything together. Folks say we're married. Why aren't we married? I don't understand. What's the problem? Why we can't get married? And he blows up and said, look here. I mean, I told you. I mean, things ain't quite right. It's just not right. And he blows up. Well, just forget it then. I mean, I'm not going to be pressured into this because of you. Just forget it then. I already told you. He blows up. But he got that way because I'm telling him, he wasn't driving the ship. She was driving that ship. And he did what he did. Part of it, not because he didn't care, but part of it was to appease her. Because you want her to feel good. There's nothing feels better to a man, you know, than to hear that woman being excited about all these things and telling everybody. Men, we love hearing a woman call our name to other folks. And Jay doing this, and Jay did that, and Jay and I are going to do this, and Jay and I, we love it. But sometimes we can love it as long as we hear it. But when it takes us to that next level that we may not be ready to go, it's like a perpetual state of cold feet. I'm all right until you start talking about going to the next level. Now you're talking about going to the next level. We need to have a timeout. We need to discuss this. I want to go, but just not now. And you're saying, but when? I don't know, but just not now. Either one or two things are going to happen. He's going to have to face that issue or what he's dealing with. He's going to have to face it. And that's the conversation that he doesn't need to have with you first. He's got to have that with himself. He's got to ask himself the question, why? What am I really afraid of? Do I not really love her the way I should? All of those things are very important. And if he can answer those questions, you got to be ready for the answer. If he comes back and says, look, I thought I was ready for this, but I'm not. I'm not. I'm just not. But how many of you are ready to deal with a man coming back to you after a long term and saying, babe, I'm not really ready for this. I thought I was. I'm going to need a little bit more time. How many of you are going to say, well, baby, take all the time you need? Versus how many of you are going to say, look here, time, I done gave you 5 years of my life. Look, it don't take that time. Either you want me or you don't. I'm quite sure that's what we hear.
Uh-huh.
And that's exactly what she did. She told him
exactly.
Just
either
that.
You want me or you don't.
You know,
so it becomes an ultimatum.
Right. She gave him an ultimatum. And he, you know, when they did, when she did go back to him, when they did reconnect for closure, he told her, he said, I loved you, but I was not in love with you. I thought after a period of time, he said, my mother liked you. He said, but I thought I would fall in love with you, but I didn't. 5 years, he's like, if you hadn't given me that ultimatum, we would still be together. He was comfortable with just
with
loving her. He said, I settled with you.
Yeah, he actually
said,
I settled with you.
Right.
In other words, I could have existed with you. I could have existed with you. And maybe somewhere along the line, you know, these things you got to understand. We have to understand this. Our image of everybody just being filled with bliss and love and wild, it's going to be hot and heavy and hot and wild, that's not reality for everybody. Let's just be real. That's not going to be reality for everyone. So we need to get rid of that image, because there will be people that will get married and they will love each other. And, you know, I mean, how many people you hear to say, well, there's no fire in our marriage, but you married. Okay, yeah. You know, on the other hand, the girl down the street, she just want to get married. Well, you married, you don't have any fire. She's burning with fire but can't get married. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, so we got to understand it's not going to always look the same way. It's not going to always look the same way, and because it doesn't look. So we got to be ready. That guy would have probably eventually married her in his own timing.
Yeah,
in his
but would
own
it be
timing.
Because of love or just because of the fact, like you said, he just wanted her to feel good?
No, I think after a period of time, you know what? Let me say, we all have these what I call Hollywood versions of what love is. We got all the steamy version of what love looks like and expresses itself. And because of that, that really confuses some of us whether we are in love or love someone in the first place. You know, when I feel a need to protect you, when I feel a need that I don't want to hurt you, when I feel a need that I only want to give you my best, when I feel a need that, listen, you know, that I really want to see you happy, that's really, I love you. What I might not have at that time is this sense of wherewithal where I'm bringing you a gift every other day. I'm doing all these great things that you may interpret as love. But for me, my expression of love, inside of those things I feel towards you, it is those things that cause me to wake up every day and call you and think of you and want to spend time with you. What are you doing this evening? Did you get back? Those things is what drive me. You may be looking for other signs, other type of things. And when you don't see them after a period of time, now you're impatient. You can't be. And one book that I continue to try to read, and I'm reading it again.
You got 60 seconds.
It's The Five Love Languages, A Married Couple by Gary Chapman, because it really helps you to understand that my love language may be different from your love language. It doesn't mean that I don't love you. It doesn't mean you don't love me, but it's the way that we express it. I need to know your language, and you need to know my language. And once
well,
we know each other's language,
so much, Jay. We're wrapping up another Hot Topics from the Soul. Time went away from us again. We have less than 60 seconds. Well, see, time has ran out on us, but I thank you so much for joining. Those of you, visit my website, www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. And then if you have any questions or comments, you want to email soultopics@gmail.com. And don't forget Soul Retreat 2011 in Orlando, Florida, August 12th and 13th. Hopefully all of you listening, I will see you there. And those of you that got on the show late or tell a friend, you can replay the show at any time. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com/soultopics, and you can replay this show and any other show. And I look forward to seeing you next Tuesday. We will move to Tuesday night at 8 o'clock on June 7th, Tuesday night. Good night. God bless, and you have a powerful week. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.